This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is hour two as we roll along. And for the first time in what, little less than 2 weeks, because you had it on the Monday before we went to vacation. We have the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. All the long anticipated good, the bad, and the dumb. But we're also going to get into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's team one of the NFC South that we'll preview this week, along with Atlanta, Carolina, and New Orleans this week as we keep rolling along in our NFL previews. Then next week, we will do the AFC South before we wrap it up with the two Western divisions. And by that time, we'll be really into football season. So sit back and enjoy the ride, folks. Buccaneers, again, last year went 13-4. I said 12-5 earlier. I missed that one. It was 13-4. They lost to the Rams in the playoff game, and they lost at home. They were the number one passing offense in the league last year, which is a lot of people think Brady will be able to duplicate that, despite the fact of not having Rob Gronkowski. But they did sign Kyle Rudolph this offseason, and they were also second in the NFL in points. They averaged over 30 points per game. Chris Godwin has been practicing for the first time since last year when he tore an ACL in week 15. So there's still some things to really like about the Buccaneers. They really shouldn't miss a beat. Gronk is a big loss, but they still, you know, with Kyle Rudolph on that roster, they should still not miss a beat with Tom Brady under center. That being said, okay, are there things to be concerned about? And Pat Donovan will join us later on the show to talk about that as we continue this morning. But as we've been saying, this is a division that is ripe for the taking for one of the elite teams. I mean, I know the Saints could be an interesting wild card. Jameis Winston, when he plays well, they do win games under him. But it's a new head coach. And Jameis Winston, what we saw last year was good, but over 17 weeks, let's see. No, this really is the Buccaneers division. Atlanta's rebuilding. Carolina could be a team that, if they get good quarterback play, could be in a wild card race. But Christian McCaffrey, if he stays healthy. But the reality of it is it's the Buccaneers division. And that means the Buccaneers, if they play even off a little bit, they still should win this and go to the playoffs. And then when they get to the playoffs, we know how dangerous they can be. All right, we'll continue our look at the Buccaneers as well as other NFL stories. But coming up next, the good, the bad, and the dumb. It is back after a two-week hiatus because Ron is back from his vacation. Glad you can be with us at Sports Map Radio. Wake up call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good. The Bad and the Dumb is brought to you by Verizon with their newest unlimited plan. Everyone's welcome. Introducing Welcome Unlimited from Verizon for just $30 a line per month for 4 lines with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Their best priced unlimited plan ever. For real, $30 a line for the whole family. The network you want, the price you love. Switch to Verizon today. Paper-free billing required. Unlimited 5G nationwide 4G LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited and are eligible only for select promotions. Includes domestic talk, text, and data usage only. Data roaming at 2G speeds. It's back! The good, the bad, and the dumb. All right, we had to go 2 weeks without this. So
sorry.
That's all right, man. Vacation's vacation. But I missed it, and I'm glad it's back this morning.
Well, I mean, I thought I could do this two ways, right? I was like, well, right. You know, I could probably find a good, the bad, the dumb from my vacation. But, you know, that's like watching slides right. of your vacation. So no one wants that. So instead, it's almost a hybrid. And, you know, and what I mean by that is that only one category is really about my vacation. And it's not really about my vacation. So let's start off with the good of the day. Good of the day, Tony, is that I might have found your new favorite soccer player.
Okay.
His name is Mohamed Bouye Touré.
Oh, okay. Right? So, yep. All right.
That's his name. I believe he's of African descent. But he had been playing. He started his career playing in Sweden. Then he transferred over to a team in China where he wasn't playing that well. And now he's going back to Sweden, right?
Right.
To a Swedish league team where he enjoyed the best years of his life. And so it was his day to sign his contract. There was only one problem. That was also the day he was to sign his new deal with the Swedish team was also the day of his wedding.
Oh, okay. So, I see where you're going with this.
So
yeah.
Guess what he chose?
He chose the contract.
He chose the contract.
Good for him. Good for him.
He had his brother-in-law stand in for his wedding ceremony.
Okay, that I wouldn't have done. I just want to make that very clear. That I would not have done. I would have just said, can everybody wait 24 hours until I get back? I don't think I would have put my brother-in-law or my brother and stand in my place and recite the line.
Well, it's your brother-in-law, so I mean, it's okay. You know, your wife's brother, which, you know, it's just a stand-in. Okay. Just say, you know, they've already did the photos, they did the whole thing, you know, they showed their love in front of everyone. Everyone knows that, you know, they were going to get married. So we just say, okay. It's a ceremony, it's a party, brother-in-law, future brother-in-law, you just stand in for me.
Now, all right, good for him. Now, again, it would have been better if it was his brother-in-law's wedding, and he was like, I ain't going to that. That's ridiculous. Why do I want to sit through that ceremony when I'm signing this contract? But, I would have delayed my own wedding to sign the contract, but I don't know.
Maybe he's like, you know what? I didn't even want this wedding in the first place. I didn't want the party.
Right.
I didn't want to stand there in front of it. I want to be married.
Right. I want to be married.
I want to be married, but I don't want the wedding.
The bride cuts the cake.
Yeah.
The bride cuts. Yeah, I don't need all that. Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's great.
So, we'll have to keep close tabs on him, although we'll probably never talk about him again because he's in a league that we don't really care about.
Yeah, but let's find out if he's divorced in 2 years, right?
Exactly.
Let's see if that wedding makes it all the way through the
Is it actually a divorce? He never got married.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. All right, what's the bad of the day?
His brother-in-law staying in for that one.
His brother-in-law staying in for that one. Right, exactly. All right, what's the bad of the day is
it was – I'm going to preface it this way. Pete Rose was welcomed back with open arms back to Philly Nation.
Yeah, I saw this story.
And he was in the booth. I do have an audio bite with him in the booth, which was pure gold. It's only what Pete Rose can do. So I'm going to play the audio first and then tell you why what the bad is.
Rose said, Tony, congratulations. What did you hit? And Tony says, yo, I hit a high fastball. And Joe didn't know what to say. Joe said, no.
That's looped out to right field.
You changed the subject real quick on that loop out to right field.
I'm just describing the action.
Pretty sure we don't have a 7-second delay, so.
Ooh.
Now, the beeps that you heard, I added.
Right. Okay.
Because it went over air unedited.
Oh, good Lord.
But this is where my bag comes in. Isn't it time for Major League Baseball to revisit his lifetime suspension?
I think so too.
Because
I've said that for a long time.
He, you know, was with the Reds. He was honored by the Reds when they were celebrating the Big Red Machine, you know, and inducting people into their Hall of Fame or whatnot. And he was out on the field for that, throwing the first pitch. Now the Phillies are having him throw the first pitch. It's beyond ridiculous, especially now. That sports gambling is ingrained in all the major professional sports.
I think that's the biggest thing is that I think these things take a different culture and a different generation to look at it in another way, right? And I think that's where Rose and other players come in, like all the steroid guys or Pete Rose or whatever. It takes a fresher set of eyes to look at it. I do remember at the time, and we all who are old enough to remember the big scandal, the betting on the baseball and Bart Giamatti. I mean, it killed him. It killed Bart Giamatti. I mean, the stress of it was incredible what he was dealing with. But over time, I think you have to look at a guy and go, everybody seems to like Pete Rose. I don't want to overstate it, but it feels like when he's at public events. Like when he was honored at the All-Star game, you remember years ago when Jim Gray talked to him?
Yeah.
And people like got mad at Jim Gray because they booed him for these first questions. Like people were giving him a standing ovation. People cheer him, obviously, in Cincinnati and Philadelphia and whatnot. People want to embrace him, at least the fans of him from when he was. But I think it is time. I do think it's time to figure out a way to.
It needs to be revisited. It needs to be
talked
about.
He's 81 years old, so it's not like he's going to be a manager or anything like that. But I think that he does have a place in the sport. And I personally can't imagine. Because how long has it been since the ban? 30 years? 30-something years?
Just about, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like 19, 89. I can't imagine having something ingrained into my life so much since I was a kid, it taken away, and I can't be a part of it at all. And for that long, it just that would drive me crazy every single day. And he put up with it for 30 years. So, yeah. But yeah, he's a character for sure.
He is. He's a lot of fun.
He is. I will tell you that. All right. What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. Now, this is where I do bring in a little bit of my vacation because, was mentioned earlier, I was at Disneyland during this trip.
Yes.
Went on many, many rides. There was only one ride that I really went on that I went on twice.
Okay.
And it actually bookend our entire stay at Disneyland. It was the first ride we went on, and it was the last ride we went on. And that was Ride of the Resistance.
Yeah, that's an amazing ride.
And this is why it's dumb. I cannot comprehend, first of all, that ride and where rides will go from here on out, because that ride was a game changer.
It really was. I went on it a year and a half ago, October.
Yeah.
October 2020 I went. And I rode it. And just in Disney World, I don't know what they we had to get a boarding pass.
Yeah, now those are gone now. Now you can go and stand by. Yeah, you just enter like you normally do. You can get a they no longer have fast passes. They have Genie Plus.
Yeah.
I don't know if Disney World does the same thing, but Disneyland has Genie Plus, but it's one of those that you have to pay for. You have to pay extra to get. But we never did it. We tried to pay extra to get it, but I'm glad we didn't because we only waited in line the first time. We waited maybe an hour.
Yeah,
it was going by. The second time we waited was 45 minutes.
That's even better.
Yeah.
So yeah, you got to Hollywood Studios in Florida, and they said like 10 o'clock. Everybody's on their phones, and everybody has to log in.
Yep.
And then you have to see if you get this boarding pass. So my wife is like in charge of all that. She's like, I got this. I'm ready to go. So we were in line for a ride. And at 10 o'clock, you see everybody's on their phones and boom. And then the first time we didn't get it. And we were like, oh, and I know I was with my parents. And my parents were like, oh, well, they do it again at 2 o'clock. It's a little easier to get it then because, you know, obviously the big chunk of the people can't get it twice. So hopefully you'll get it at 2 o'clock. And because I didn't want to leave without riding it because I don't want to keep coming back for, you know, to try to go. So 2 o'clock came and my wife's like, boom, we landed it. We got it. So we were like excited. So we went on it and, you know, it was great. They check. Okay, good. Go on in. And I didn't know what to expect, but I had heard it was really good ride. But you're right. Just the interaction, what you see, the role playing that goes on.
Yeah.
It's literally one of the most incredible things I've seen.
The attendants on the ride.
Yeah.
Because they're all in it.
They're all in.
I mean, it's, you know, for me, it was like, I'm in LA. These guys are all wannabe actors. And they're this is the gig that they have right now waiting for their big break in Hollywood.
That's exactly right.
But it's just, the ride is so immersive that I think about this. It's like, you know, Disneyland has done a remarkable job on their lines, right? Like you can stand in line, but you don't feel like you're standing in line because there's like a story going on inside that line, or you feel like you escaped to that world where the line is decorated and you know, you're in a cave, like, you know, this and that. But then the ride becomes an actual ride. You know, it's a roller coaster. It's this, it's that. This actually felt like, I mean, you went from one room to another room and you're in part of the story. For me, where are rides going to go? Because roller coasters are no longer that much fun when you have something like this.
Yeah, it's really, the immersiveness is great. It's, you know, that's funny that there's a Star Wars hotel down in Orlando.
Right.
And it's very, very, very expensive. But one of the reasons it's expensive is there's multiple reasons, obviously. A lot of things at Disney are expensive.
Disney
needs to make
money.
One of the reasons is where, like you were talking about, the cast members who are working the rides that are kind of in on the action, like they kind of act out the parts.
Right.
They still are cast members. They're still employees. The hotel uses real actors, like people that, like union waged actors to play in the role of your stay. So they're professionally trained. So obviously they're not, you know, $15 an hour, you know, kids. They are no, no, you're going to pay me an X amount, pay us an X amount of dollars for, to do this. So you get an acting experience. But yeah, the cast members are great. I mean, they really are. They're yelling at you to stay, get in line. They're acting like you are a problem to the Empire.
I had one of them tell me, he's like, you know, looked at me and says, you know, you might be too dumb to remember to stand on this color, but you need to stand on that blue square right there.
Yeah.
And I was like, looking at him like, you all right?
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. So no, I'm glad you liked it. It's a great attraction.
It's a great ride. I recommend it for anybody. And then it's going to ruin the rest of the rides for you.
Right, no doubt. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Glad it is back as we continue. Tony D and Ron Culver. It's a Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, later on in the show, we got Pat Donovan, WDAE, to talk Tampa Bay. Buccaneers are on the clock today as we continue NFL previews. Again, he'll be on, in just 10 minutes, right?
Something like
10,
that, yeah.
10, 12 minutes.
12 minutes.
So I have to tell you real quick. I told you I didn't really watch any sports this weekend. I did see Nick Faldo's goodbye on CBS, where everybody was crying. Ian Baker Finch crying. Nick Faldo, because he was his last broadcast. He's not going to live. He's going to Montana, where he's going to retire on a ranch and fly fish and just kind of live out his lovely days. I don't know if he'll come back to the broadcast booth. Like, he gets a little tired of retirement and wants to actually do something. Who knows? But Nick Faldo's last broadcast, I did see a little bit of that, but most of it I didn't see anything. I got caught on this show that was on Netflix, but it's not a show through Netflix. It was like on another network, and then Netflix is just like airing it. And so I think it was on the History Channel. There's been a number of seasons of this show, and I never heard of it, and it's called Alone. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
They take a bunch of survivalists. I mean, these are people who really know how to survive in the wilderness. Like, they have all the skills that are necessary. And then they put them in, like, in this episode that I'm watching, they put them in Alaska. They have a lake in Alaska and a woods, and they go, here you go. And the last person to call saying, I want out of this thing, wins $500,000. So there's 10 of them. And they basically are going to live by themselves. Now, when I hear these things, I always go, yeah, right, alone, except there is a audio guy and a
tent.
On-site producer.
That was always one of the problems with Survivor.
Right.
It's
right.
Because, you know, Survivor, they're on an island by themselves, except for the camera crew, Jeff right. Probst, the narrator, you know, I mean, just like, except for all these other people who have all these great amenities.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay, how alone is it when there's all these people there? And then I realized that the show was not that. They gave these contestants GoPros and video cameras, and they had to film themselves. The more they filmed, the more TV they got. They got more they got on TV. The less they filmed, the less they were on TV. So it was in their best interest to film as much as they can. And that's what they did. They set up cameras. And I kid you not, so every single one of these people were like, hi, yeah, my name is Joe. I teach survival methods, you know, like making sticks into swords and
right.
like everything that you wanted. Like, I'm in the woods and I know every berry to eat, not to eat, and I know how to eat roots, and I know how to eat bugs, and I know which plants are poisonous, and plants like those kind of people, right? That are like, nope, put me in the woods, like Rambo, you know, like just get in the woods and they know how to do it. They're allowed to bring 10 things with them. Some like didn't bring a fire starter kit because they're like, I know how to make fire. I don't need that. And they go into the woods like, there's bears there. There's bears. And they're all given bear spray, but that's it. That's it. And they're all given a phone. You call that phone, help is on the way, and then you're out. You're out of the game. So one guy thought he was having a heart attack, so he was the first one out. He had to call up. He's like, I hate quitting, but I've felt this before in my life. I got to get out of this. But these guys, I'm not kidding. They are building log cabins by themselves as shelter. They're like, well, time to get to work. Women, too. They're like, time to get to work. And they're going around cutting into the logs, building it like a Lincoln log set. One guy built a chimney. He found rocks and he built like a chimney where he could have a fire. Smoke could come out of it, but it would heat the house, little tiny hut that he was in. One guy built a bed and he had like put it, he had enough bush and straw and stuff to make a padding so he could sleep comfortably. One built a nice little cooking kitchen where he, like, they were geniuses. Ron, I kid you not, I would last 8 seconds on that island.
Easily.
Every one of them would be on the island. They'd be on the shore. The boat would drop them off, and the boat would leave, and they'd go, bye, bye, yeah, bye, boat.
Joe and Susie over there are building a log cabin. Meanwhile, I have a Charlie Brown leaf hut.
Right, exactly. Exactly. No, I would be eaten by the bear immediately. Like, I'd be on the shore going, bye, bye, gomp. And the bear's like, thanks, appreciate it. We can go hybrid. I'm going to bring this back to the den.
Yep.
He's going to last us all winter long, this one. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Come again soon.
I can't wait. Exactly. Come back. When you don't have to worry about it. He's good for a while. We'll devour him, and we'll go in a nice hibernation. But bring back a nice, juicy one next time. That'll be great. Thank you. Like, that would be me. Like, they're seeing bears, and they're like, oh, look at that beautiful bear. They're not screaming and running and just freaking out like I would have been. This one guy is like, I need food. I need food. He goes, oh. He starts digging a hole. He starts seeing some insects. He goes, oh, that's great. This is protein. He starts eating one. He goes, that's a little lemony. He goes, look, a little lemony sour taste. I'm like, lemony? You just ate a worm. What are you talking about, lemony? What do you mean? They're different flavors? What are they like, gummy bears?
Needs
like,
more
this
salt.
This tastes like cherry. Oh, this is delicious. It's incredible. It's the most, one of the most addicting things. I can't get enough of this. I cannot get enough of this. One guy built, he forwent food. He said, I'm not going to eat. My biggest thing is shelter. I've got to build shelter. Then I'll worry about fishing and hunting and getting the food I need. He built the shelter, nearly killed him. He was so calorically depleted. He didn't realize how much energy. And I'm like, yeah, it's a log cabin you're built. Like, it's not a tent. You're chopping trees down and then stripping them of the branches and then chopping like little V's so you can put the, you can build it.
Did he go two stories, indoor plumbing?
That's what I was wondering.
What are we talking about here?
One of these people is, one woman, she dug a hole. Because she's going to build her shelter in the ground because the air, she's using science. And she said that when I build the fire, the fire only has to heat the air and it'll be less cold above than being below. I don't know how that works. I don't know if she's even right, but that's her theory. So she dug a hole and all of them are going to starve to death because nobody can fish except one guy who built his fishing pole. Out of what was in the woods. And I'm not talking a stick. Like, he built a reel, and he had the string, and he built a real fishing pole. He figured out how to build a fishing pole. One guy built his own bow. Like, I'm not kidding. I'm dead in the apocalypse. I'm worthless in the apocalypse. They'd be like, all right, we're going to survive. We're going to need everybody's team. Otherwise, we're all dead. Tony, build a fire. Can't do that.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Give me a lighter.
Fine. Okay, we'll get somebody else to build a fire. Why don't you go out there and get us some food? Go hunt for food. Yeah, I can't quite do that either. I'm not really. All right, can you at least build? Nope.
Can you forage berries?
Yeah, can you get berries? I'll bring back the poison ones.
Exactly.
I have no idea which ones are safe to eat and which ones aren't safe to eat. Unbelievable. I told my wife at dinner, I'm like, I'm addicted to this show. It's called Alone. It's survivalist. And she goes, oh, really? She goes, is it interesting? I go, well, let me just say, if you watched it with me, you'd look at me and go, yeah, okay. I'm really attached. I've now attached myself to somebody that cannot make a fire. Like, you'd be like looking at them going, that's the guys that'll save me in the apocalypse. Because I said, I have none of these skills at all. So now I'm wondering if I should take a survival course.
All right, Tony, think of this. Maybe you'd be like Tom Hanks.
Just learn it as I go?
Learned as you go. Because when he first got there, I mean, he couldn't make a fire.
And then by the end, he was that skinny guy with the beard that threw a spear and caught a fish?
Yes.
You might be right. Yeah, he didn't know how to do any of that stuff.
He didn't know how to do it. But the good thing for him, he didn't have anything hunting him.
And remember when he got rescued, he slept on the floor?
Yeah.
He was in that bed, and he's like, I can't sleep on this. Sleep on the floor. You might be right.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to our Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Learn more at progressive.com. The one and only Pat Donovan joins us from WDAE in Tampa as we preview the Buccaneers. It is NFC South Week. How are you, my friend?
I am well. Did you guys play this song on purpose? Do you realize this is actually the song that we use in our show open?
Yes. Actually, Ron just told me that. He said this is the theme song to your show in Tampa. So we just wanted to make you feel at home here on Sports Map Radio. So
I couldn't feel more at home.
By the way, congratulations. Pre-game, post-game host of the Buccaneers Radio Network. A huge deal. That is awesome. Good for you, my friend.
Thank you so much. Believe it or not, I'm actually not the host. I'm going to be the analyst, believe it or not.
Oh, analyst. Wow. Even better. That's great. That's the angle that you want, man. That's even better. Instead of, you get to answer the stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I get the easy job, if you will.
That's great. Congratulations on that. All right, so the Buccaneers. This was an interesting offseason for them. Brady retires. He unretires. Arians goes to the front office. Todd Bowles is now the new head coach. Take us back to that period of time. What was the feeling about all of that? I know we had you on at the time, but just sort of give us a refresher on everything from Brady retiring, coming back, and then the change in coaching.
Yeah, the whole thing was so weird. You know, I never thought he would retire, first of all. And when the whispers started, I'm like, he's not retiring. Get out of here. And then he did. And I'm like, all right, well, here we are. We're back to mediocrity, more than likely, with the Buccaneers, right? And then all of a sudden, I'm in Las Vegas, actually, laying in bed in my hotel room. Just got back from hanging out or whatever. And then I see this alert on my phone. He's coming back. I ran right down to the sports book, all right? I threw $50 on the Bucs. I said, how do you not do it, right? But,
right.
Yeah, I'm in Vegas when I find out that Tom is indeed coming back. And then it's not long that we find out, of course, that Bruce Arians is going to hang it up and turn things over to Todd Bowles. And then all the whispers come out about Miami and all this other stuff and, you know, all the reporting that Mike Florio had. And honestly, on our show, we called him ridiculous. We brought him on the show to tell him we thought he was ridiculous. And then we had to call him last week and apologize because it turns out a lot of what he thought was true was actually true.
With Todd Bowles, there were 10 new head coaches this season, and a lot of them were of the same sort of offensive, young, offensive-minded guys that got moved up. Matt Eberflus is a new coach that is a defensive-oriented guy, but Todd Bowles is not. He's been in the league before, but he is a defensive-minded guy. Is a defensive-minded voice the best thing for this Buccaneers team as a head coach?
I think if Tom Brady is gone, that's a hell of a question, right?
Right.
I think you really have to consider whether or not it's the right move. But also, he's not, right? Tom Brady's here, and I don't think it necessarily matters who the head coach is as long as Tom Brady is here in his third season in a system that he understands and knows. But really, I'll be honest with you, I don't think whether they had decided to go with Byron Leftwich and an offensive mind or Todd Bowles and his defensive mind, that it makes a ton of difference for this Buccaneers team this season. Cause the reality is they've been doing this for a few years. It's basically going to remain the same. Obviously, Todd is going to have the decisions to make when it's time to make decisions during the game. Outside of that, I don't think a whole lot changes. If anything, I think Todd Bowles being a hands-off coach when it comes to the offensive side of the football is going to give Tom and Byron an opportunity to kind of do what they want with the offense without having to worry about it. So really, I think regardless of who the head coach was, they were going to move on to one of their coordinators. I don't think there's a ton of change here in Tampa Bay.
Do you think Brady is still the guy that throws the most passes, throws the most yards, more passing offense? Do they run the ball a little bit more? Do they change anything of what they might do offensively in 2022?
I don't think so. Maybe there's a situation where late in games, if they have a lead, where Todd says, hey, let's dial it back a little bit. Let's be a little more conservative. Let's lean on my defense because that's what I like to do. But I really don't think so. I think this is Tom's offense, and Tom and Byron are really going to do what they want with the offense. And I think given everything from this offseason, I think Tom's annoyed. The last time he spoke, which was the last time he will speak before the regular season, he didn't seem like he was in a great mood. Now, maybe it was because he knew the report that was coming out the next day about the Dolphins tampering with him while he was in New England, while he was a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. So maybe that was kind of annoying him. But to me, an annoyed Tom Brady is dangerous for the league. I think he's coming for people's necks this year. And I think you're going to have one. I think we're going to see him have another historic season offensively because he wants to shove it down everyone's throat.
I want to talk to you about two injuries. One is somebody coming back from one. That's Chris Godwin, who's practiced since the ACL tear last year. And the other one is Ryan Jensen, who they've lost for some time after he suffered an injury at the start of training camp. Let's start with Godwin first. How does he look? I mean, anytime you come from an ACL, I'm always curious about that. And then the second one, how bad of a loss is Ryan Jensen on the offensive line?
First of all, Jensen's huge, but just looking at Chris Godwin, to be fair, I've been to one practice so far because I'm on at noon every day. I don't get to go out to training camp every day anymore. So last week, we had a day off because the Rays had a day game. I'll have another one on Wednesday to get back out to camp, but I was out at camp before Chris came back. But the fact that he's back on the field already is just insane. Yeah. You know, when he got hurt, when we thought about how late it was in the year when he got hurt, we were talking about, man, he might miss half the season next year, right? And by the way, that's not just us, a couple of morons on the radio saying it. We were talking to, we have a guest every week during football season from the Florida Orthopedic Institute, and they talked to us about the injuries and the expectations around those injuries. So this wasn't a couple of morons saying he could be out half the year next year. This was a doctor.
Sure.
So to go from there to him already being on the practice field, It's really crazy to think that more than likely week one, when they line up against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, Chris Godwin's going to be one of those players on the starting offense. And that is not something that any of us thought was possible when he got hurt.
And let's get to Rob Gronkowski, because he is retired. Now, people were speculating whether or not that was going to be something where he comes back from. But they went out and got Kyle Rudolph. What kind of player are they getting in Kyle Rudolph? Is it the same one we remember with the Vikings, maybe a little stint with the Giants? What does he bring to the Buccaneers?
I thought Kyle looked pretty good last year with the Giants, as a matter of fact. It's just that he was on an awful football team. And I think, listen, Kyle Rudolph is a guy that, you know, he's not going to kill you with his speed, but he's a guy that knows how to run every route and makes every catch and knows how to play the tight end position. And if you're a guy who knows how to play the tight end position and Tom Brady's your quarterback, you're going to have opportunities. Now, I think Cam Brate is your number one tight end here, and he's going to get most of the snaps when it's an obvious passing down if there's only one tight end on the field. But I think they'll employ some two tight end stuff, and I think they'll find spots for Kyle Rudolph. And the reality is, when Tom knows he can rely on you, I think that's one thing Kyle Rudolph would be called throughout his career, if not flashy, if not anything else, it's reliable. And if Tom Brady knows he can rely on you, he will go to you. I don't think Kyle Rudolph has a major impact because of all the weapons on this football team, but I think when he's needed, he'll come up with the play, and that's exactly what Tom Brady needs. And it's another thing that's going to make this offense, assuming it can hold up on the offensive line, and we skipped over Ryan Jensen, but that's one thing that's going to make this offense really tough to stop, really tough to stop. And on Gronk, I thought he was done, and then I've kind of gotten some word from people close to him that maybe it's not as shut, case as we thought. Maybe he might come back, but I'll tell you, when you hear his words, when he's asked the questions and he's like, no, I'm done, I believe him. I think he is. I'm bummed about it. I love it. As a matter of fact, Luke Getteke, the Bucks rookie left guard, or at least he's competing for that left guard spot, he and I, he came on the show. We are going to get matching Gronk tattoos if indeed Gronk comes back.
Good for you. That's a nice bet, man. That's a nice bet. Defensively, let's talk about that for a second. Good against the run, but they did get thrown on a lot. Did they do anything to shore that up? What does the defense look like?
You know what? I think they're going to be very good defensively. I don't know that they're going to be super consistent. I think they're going to be very similar to they've been the last couple of years. It's going to be interesting how different it looks with Team Hicks inside as opposed to Ndamukong Suh at defensive tackle. But for the most part, I love Logan Ryan, by the way, for the secondary as well. A guy who comes in as a veteran safety can really help kind of point things out to some of their younger players in the secondary. I think that was a great move as well. But I think overall they're going to be like a lot of NFL defenses today, at least the good ones. You're stopping people sometimes. You're trying to create turnovers. the reality, Tony, you know this, right? Like, there's no such thing as a dominant defense in today's NFL. It just, it can't happen. The rules don't allow for it. And I'll be shocked the next time we see one, because I think it's been a long time since we have. I just don't think it's a game that you can be dominant defensively anymore. So what are you going to do? You got to be opportunistic. You got to take the football away, and you got to stop people sometimes, because you're never going to stop people all the time in today's NFL.
Right.
And I think that's what this team's going to be able to do. I think a lot is going to be on that pass rush. How do they do without a guy like Jason Pierre-Paul over there? Is Joe Tryon Choyinka ready for that opportunity to be the starting pass rusher? I'm not sure about that. I think he is, but we won't know until we see him on the football field. I think the pass rush could be a concern. And then what do we get from Devin White? Devin White's a guy that 2 years ago as a rookie really impressed people down the stretch, had an amazing playoff run, and I made the comment going into last year, I thought he was going to become the kind of player where he might be a defensive player of the year candidate. Instead, he wasn't even the best defensive player on this team. He took a step backwards last year. I want to see big things from him this year.
I liked Devin White when he got drafted. I really did.
I love him.
I loved him. I absolutely loved him. So, yeah, I would like to see that. I want to ask another player, because the player is similar to, here in Nashville. I thought there was a second act for Julio Jones that didn't happen here. There was injuries like there was in Atlanta. Is there? Do you think there's a second act for this guy? Do you think in pairing up with Tom Brady can give a second act to anybody? I mean, Antonio Brown knows that and knew that. But can we get a second act from Julio Jones in this offense?
Yeah, I think the huge difference, though, with Antonio Brown is from the neck down, 100% healthy, right? Like,
right.
Just a guy that you could rely on to be okay physically. And that, for Julio Jones at this point, I just think is a stretch for him to have a full 17-game season where he is a major factor. Now, the good thing for the Buccaneers is he's a luxury. He doesn't have to be a major factor. Listen, a lot of people, everybody, you've seen him, Tony, everybody's throwing up the graphic, right, with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Julio Jones. What are they going to do? Well, all those people, and I, by the way, I'm not talking about like fans. Like, I've seen that from ESPN. I've seen that from major networks. They're talking about Mike Evans, Julio Jones, and Chris Godwin. They're forgetting about Russell Gage. The Bucs gave Russell Gage about $10 million a year at the beginning of the offseason. They didn't go run out for Julio Jones like that. As a matter of fact, we're finding out now, they kind of were looking at OBJ before Julio Jones. So Russell Gage, while everyone's talking about Julio, he's the guy coming from Atlanta who I think has a big impact on this team, who I think has a very good season. But again, Julio's a luxury, and I think a luxury that if you use him correctly, if you use him sparingly, can be huge in the right moment. So instead of trying to get 60 catches or something out of this guy, give him a handful of snaps a game, keep him healthy, and then come playoff time, you've got a very dangerous weapon that nobody saw coming.
I like asking big picture questions as the final one, just to give a big overall view. And as I've told you a few times, I grew up in New England, but I married a girl from St. Petersburg. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have always been, for the past 25 years, has been a presence in our family. So I know how important the Buccaneers are to that region. And I watched the team with early days, you know, go to the playoffs and then disappear and then win a Super Bowl, then disappear. It's one thing to talk about Brady and Gronk and winning championships and being relevant, but living there, is there a larger picture to what the Buccaneers are with those guys, with Gronk now gone, but with Brady there, is there a larger thing that has happened to the organization in that area because those two arrived? Not just on the football field, but just in general, the larger picture of what that team means to that area.
Tony, Tom Brady didn't impact the Buccaneers organization and franchise. He impacted Tampa Bay. And it's not even an exaggeration. You know, I sat down with a friend of mine here who is one of the top realtors in the country and certainly in the area. And he was explaining to me that Tom Brady legitimately impacted real estate rates, right?
Yeah.
Like, impacted the price of housing, impacted. He said, listen, he's impacted me, right? Like, I've done. I used to write about football for a football website that's no longer around. And they pushed me out as a football guest on radio stations across the country. I did less interviews then than I do now. Why? Because Tom Brady's here, right? And I've built these relationships around the country now because Tom Brady is here. So he has changed my career. He's changed the state. He's changed the city. It's almost impossible to overstate what his impact on the Buccaneers especially, but really even Tampa Bay has been. But the Buccaneers, you look at a team that coming into Tom Brady's tenure here, had the worst winning percentage, not in NFL history, in professional sports history. Thankfully, I think the Minnesota Timberwolves have since taken that over. but I mean, Tom Brady came here and immediately changed the way this franchise is looked at around the country, around the league, more importantly, from the players. If it's good enough for Tom Brady, why isn't it good enough for me? I think a lot of guys are going to look at the Buccaneers, even after Tom is gone, a lot of people are going to look at the Buccaneers that way, and they certainly never did before he got here.
Perfect. Pat, always great talking to you. Thank you so much, my friend. Hope to catch up with you soon. And congratulations
anytime
on the new gig. Well deserved, my friend. Well deserved.
Thank you so much. Have a great
you
day.
You got it. Pat Donovan, WDAE. We'll talk about what we were just chatting about and a little bit of a wrap-up as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, went a little long there with Pat Donovan, but I always like talking to him, and I can almost lose track of time when I do. But I like that last part he said. I think there are impacts on the football field. We get it. You know, he's winning games. He's putting the team in the playoffs. He's putting the team in championship potential situations. Totally understand that. But I think there is something larger about him going to Tampa. And I think he hit it right on the head. I think there was something about Florida's always been Florida. It's always been a nice place to retire, right? The weather's good and whatnot. But I do think what he said about real estate prices, there is a more, you get this bigger emphasis and people look and go, hey, look at that. Look at Florida. Look at Tom Brady. Look at the water. Look at the beach. You get more focused on that because a big superstar is there. The Lightning won 2 Stanley Cups, but it's not going to be as big as Tom Brady arriving and winning a Super Bowl because more attention is there, and it makes people go, you know what? Maybe I'll move down there. Maybe I'll retire there, whatnot. It's more than just the football field.